Hi, today is Wednesday, March 12th. This is the Women's Chumash here, 10th of Adar Bet. We're up to Sefer Bereshit, Perek Vav, end of Parshas Bereshis. Okay, Rabotai. We are at the end of Perek Vav, of Sefer Bereshit. And we're going to finish the Parsha today. And the unit that we focus on today begins at Pasuk Hey. It's Pasuk Hey, Vav, and Zion, and Chet. So the Torah stated that HaKadosh Baruch Hu noted what the behavior of the previous generation was. These Nephilim and Bnei HaElohim, who had engaged in whatever they engaged in, Vayikulahem Nashim, we discussed that enough. God noticed in Pasuk Hey that man is totally corrupt. HaKadosh Baruch Hu regrets that he has made man, and he is very sad. Vayomer Hashem in Pasuk Zayin, Emche et ha'adam shebarati mi'al p'nei adama, mi'adam ala b'ima, ad remes arof ha'shamayim, ki nichamti ki asitim, I regret having made them. V'noach matzachem b'enei Hashem. So, I want to see various mefarshim, how they handle and shed light on several issues that are common amongst all of the parshanim. And we start now, Vayinachem Pasuk Vav. Vayinachem Hashem, ki asa et ha'adam ba'aretz, vayit atzev el libo. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm translating it literally, changed his mind that he had made man, and he was sad in his heart. Sad, vayit atzev el libo, which is an unusual phrase, not really bo. So therefore, Rashi's going to offer two interpretations. But the issue that will be examined henceforth is that which troubles everybody, God's changing his mind and expressing emotion. God being sad. Vayit atzev el libo. What does it mean that God is sad? So many of the answers, you know, we know that it's only an expression. We'll see that. Others reinterpret the text because they don't want to interpret it this way because they have such difficulty with it. But those are issues that we will focus on this particular pasuk. And I will direct your attention immediately to Rashi. We'll start with Rashi. In pasuk Vav, Vayinachem Hashem ki asa, and Vayetatzev ha'adam el libo. Rashi chooses an unusual interpretation, and we know what's driving him. Vayinachem Hashem ki asa, nichama haita. Vayinachem, says Rashi, does not mean that he changed his mind. Vayinachem comes from nichama, consolation. Why was he consoled? Nichama haita lefanav shibirao b'tachtonim. He was consoled that where did this decision take place to create man? Down here on earth. So, since it's only down here on earth, he's not that upset that what does he have to do with these little creatures down here on earth? He has to destroy them. She'ilu haya min ha'elyonim haya mamridan. Had this creature created by man been made placed where? Upstairs in the heavens, in the galaxies, what would he have been forced to do? Mamridan. What would he have to do? Destroy them. Get rid of them. Which would have been a much more painful experience for God. So God's decision to destroy man was somewhat of a consolation for a nechama, because he didn't have to do something even worse. Why is Rashi interpreting it in such a fashion? Why? Because Rashi is reluctant to interpret the normal way that God changes his mind. Why? What do you mean he changed his mind? That means he thought about one thing. It doesn't happen with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Changes. If you accept the fact, and we've discussed this ad nauseum, that God knows everything, he knows what's going to happen, so there is no changing of mind, you know exactly what's going to happen, what's going to anticipate. So there, as a result, he doesn't want to engage in the fact that God expresses a human emotion, a human trait, that he has a decision which was made, during X number of years he's delighted with his decision, and now he realizes, I made a terrible mistake. That's the way human beings evaluate such a situation. We do something, we make something, we create something, we regret that we created, we destroy it. I don't want to put those words in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Vayinochem Hashem now comes, God consoled himself by saying, thank God it's only these little bugs called humans on earth. So that's it. Had this taken place with the heavens, who somehow the angels in heaven would betray me, Ba'el Yonim, I'd have to do something unfathomable. Yes?
It's just as human to say he was comforted.
That what?
It's just as human to, it's also an emotion. Changing your mind, being comforted.
Okay.
And it's also not very, I don't understand that. It's okay to destroy human beings.
Yeah, I hear the difference. Your points are very good. Very good. But just give me 1 second, I'll take a question. Rashi continues this line of thought, Avayit Atzev. Take a look at Rashi, the next phrase. Avayit Atzev Hadam Elibo Shel Makom. Allah B'machshavto Shel Makom Lahatzivo. What does this mean? Avayit Atzev does not mean that God was sad. Man was sad. Vayit atzev ha'adam elibo shel makom. The fact that what? That what? That God has to destroy man. Vayit atzev ha'adam elibo shel makom. The fact that man is, how should I say it? See, he says, Allah b'machshavto shemakom laha'atzivo. He's making man sad. How is he making man? How is man going to be sad? How?
That
he's going to be destroyed. That he's going to be destroyed. He's going to be destroyed, which will now cause man to express what? Sadness over the fact that the decision has been reached by God to destroy him. But it's not that God is sad. Oh no, God's not. Kodesh Baruch is not sad. But it's man who is sad, and that sadness somehow is linked to something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. Man will be very sad as a result of God's decision to destroy him. Yeah, Unkelus says, "V'tamei arei avar Hashem en Hashem ba'ara, v'amar b'meirei l'mitve tukfahon kiruute." Yeah, it means kiruute means somebody who was reut, somebody who normally was his friend suddenly has what? Become mitbar, is to be broken. Limitbar tukfahon kiruute, to create a state of sadness, of brokenness, with someone who normally had expressed his friendship unto him.
Falling out with
a falling out is a very good way of explaining.
So probably men were sad that God decided
Correct. That's what Unculus is saying. Yes. Vayit atzev ha'adam elibo. Since God wanted to destroy him, therefore the relationship changes from one of re'ut to the one of very, very sad. Yeah.
Is it possible to encompass both sadness and nechama? Sadness refers to God finding grace in Noah. So in some ways, the actions that he has to take is engenders a certain kind of sadness, but there, again, is a comfort. And if you look at the only other time that is mentioned that God is regrets is in Shmuel after Shaul. And he said he regrets his decision. And at the end of the day, you have to look at, yes, it's a very tragic situation, but at the end, then David Amal comes from that.
Yeah, that's true. But Vayinachem does appears elsewhere also. In Shemot. Yeah. Vayinachem Hashem al hara'ah asher diber la'asot li'amo.
We know that Moshe
Moshe
was able to change his mind.
Okay, that's why the majority of Parshanim are going to reject Rashi. And they believe there is abundant evidence in the text that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes his mind. That is correct.
That's because
his decision, correct. That's why most are going to interpret the word Vayinachem not as consolation, but he changed his mind. Why? Because actions of man dictate that he changes his mind. We'll see it in a second. Yes.
Well, getting back to basic relations, God creates man in His image, reject the concept of Hashem having hands and a face.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps it's the emotional part that God is like us, or we're like that.
Okay, so you're introducing a factor that which we say God ain't lo demut haguf, ain't no goof, only refers to physical character. But emotions He reflects like us. Interesting. So now I reject that, not me, but Radak says that's the transition, the segue, yes? Good. You're 100% right. You're 100% right. That's why most disagree with Rashi. Let's take a look. So the second interpretation, the second Perush, is echoed by the Radak. Left-hand side of that first page. Vayinachem Hashem. He dismisses any attributes to God. Not anger, not sadness. So why does the Torah speak this way? Very simply. Mashe amar vayinachem dibra Torah kilashon b'nei Adam. In order for us to have a picture of what's happening, the only way for us to understand it realistically is what? Is what? Is to use our language. So when it says, Vayar Yisrael et hayad hagidola asher asa Hashem b'mitzrayim. What? Well, what does it mean? Yad HaGidola. Well, if you want to describe power, the way we would create the imagery of power is Yad HaGidola. Or Yad Chazaka. Ubizroa Nituya. All of that is just in a way of creating in our minds how God operates. So too says Radak. Never introduce not physical attributes, not emotional characteristics. It simply is to be taken Dibra Torah Bilashon B'nei Adam. The Torah communicates something that God has decided upon in human terms. So he communicated, decided, oh, he changed his mind. Changing his mind doesn't exist by God. He knows exactly what's going to happen till this time, and he planned it from day one that the second step is, it's not that he changed his mind. It's not that he's sad. But simply to communicate this, what happens is, yes, expressions are communicated to us in a manner in which we can understand it. Okay, if you accept this, there are no questions asked. Every single time you come across such a phrase, that will be the explanation. That's the other extreme. The in-between position is echoed by Chizkuni and many others. That yes, yes, Vayinachem can mean three things, and he identifies it. Vayinachem Hashem, on the right hand side of the first page, Al Shlosha Dvarim Hanichama Ba. Change of heart can come about as a result of one of three reasons. One, Bipshiat Hanidar, Ubikotzer Yad Hanoder, O Behit Chalef Da'ato. Three reasons can lead to a change in heart. One, Bipshiat Hanidar. What do you think that means? Bipshiat Hanidar. What?
Doesn't
right, but not, that's not on the noder part. First is the need. Pipshiat hanidar. So if you make a vow to do something unto someone, so the person who makes the vow is the noder. The person about whom the neder was made is what? The nidar. So what did God? What neder did God make about man? What did he make?
When he created.
That when he created him, what was the assumption by God's creating? That what happens? That he will live forever. Correct. So there has to be a change of heart because conditions have changed. Pshiat hanidar. The conditions were under what reason? Based on that certain conditions that you have to fulfill. No, Nidar is the human, the recipient. Man's transgression, man's guilty results in what? Rescinding the original offer. The offer is that man lives. The rescinding of that offer is because man has transgressed. Second reason. Two, Kotzer Yad Hanoder.
The inability
of the person who made the promise to fulfill it. That also can lead to a change in heart. I promise I'm going to give you $1 million. Okay, can promise from today till tomorrow. I just don't have the ability to redeem it. So I can go over to you and I say, I'm sorry I made this promise, but there's no way I can keep it. Or simply change your mind. Change your mind. Hashtayim ba'adam. Two of them applies to what? To mankind. Which two? Kimo b'kotzer yad hanoder o b'hitchalef da'ato. Two apply to man. Man sometimes makes promises. Why does he change his mind? Because he can't fulfill them.
Or he just changes his mind.
I have the ability to give you the $1 million that I promised you. I just decided I don't like it any longer. I'm not going to do it. For hashlishit ne'emra bekame mikomot etzel hakadosh baruch hu. The third relates to hakadosh baruch hu. Why does he have a change in heart? Why? Why? Because man failed. Man failed. So when he says, Nichamti kim himlachti et Shaul, Nichamti kim himlachti et Shaul, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes his mind? Because he changed, because he's not capable of fulfilling, because he suddenly decided on a whim, oh, I like David better than Shaul? No, what's the reason? Why? Because Shaul was sufficient. So, one second. So wherever HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a promise, and then man is deficient for reason A, B, and C, that is the sole time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu engages in changing his mind. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never will change his mind because of lack of the ability to fulfill. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never change his mind because he decided, what? Lo echpat li, I want to change it. I'm not interested in fulfilling. No. The only possible trigger of a Kadosh Baruch Hu changing his mind is when the person assigned a certain responsibility does not fulfill it. Shaul failed in his obligations vis-a-vis Amalek, hence nichamti ki ablachti lemelech. Here, man has failed in their role to be a spiritual person, therefore nichamtim ki asitim. Yes. That's exactly what he does. That's the assumption. If Shaul had followed through on his instructions to kill Agag, what would happen? He would remain king.
If you do what I tell you to, then people are destroyed, or you will be.
Well, it seems to indicate he told that to Adam. That Adam was supposed to remain, you know, he said, if you don't eat it, what did he say? If you eat from the Eitz Hadaat, mot tamut. The inference is very simple. If you don't eat it, you won't die. That's it. It's very simple.
And it fits perfectly with the idea that the only thing that's in the hand of Hashem, she'at hamida.
Correct. That's correct. That is correct. That's correct. And therefore, since we are in control of whether we abide or by not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really has to change his mind. There is real. It's correct. It is real changing of heart. Vayinachem should be translated literally. God changes mind. Why? I can tell you what the trigger is. Trigger is we didn't do what we were supposed to do. Had we done what you're supposed to, there would be no changing of mind on God's part.
So why not state it as a contract, like if there was a breach, as opposed to God changed his mind.
No.
Whether the God changed his mind, it's you didn't fulfill.
Well, that's the assumption. That's the assumption.
It indicates that there is this sort of God had a choice, and then he just changed his mind.
No, he didn't change his mind. He changed his mind because he had awarded Shaul the kingdom. Well, now Shaul doesn't do what he's supposed to do, therefore I regret it.
The condition changed.
I understand that, but why not use, instead of some emotional term, vayinachem, why not use a more if-then, practical, you failed, therefore. You didn't do what you were supposed to do, therefore.
Okay.
You did that with a dumb.
Okay. I can hear that.
Rabbi Allen?
Yes?
It's telling you the whole thing from the point of view of the Nidar. So God's changing his mind is a consequence. And the way it feels to man is alienation. God's rejecting us. So that's why it's called Nika. Nikai, right? He rejects us. Of course, but that's how it feels like when the parent punishes the child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just to complete Chizkuni saw for a second, he compares the sad comment to when it says Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. I mean, God's happy. God doesn't get happy. Doesn't get sad. All of these expressions are just ways of the previous expressing the way God feels about us in humanistic terms. When man does what he's supposed to, God's happy. When man is not doing what he's supposed to, God's sad. He's not happy, he's not sad. Okay, so those are three possible ways of looking at it. Three possible ways. Let's move on to the next pasuk. Actually, hold on a second, I have to add just one other thing. Turn to page 2. On the right-hand side, I bracketed Chizkuni, Vayit Atzev Elibo. And he raises an interesting point. In the middle, about 5 lines into the Chizkuni's point, it says... that Vayitatzev Libo means Nit'abel al Olamo. Everybody have it?
Yeah.
Right? Right after the line was there's a Shmuel Bet in parentheses. Nit'abel al Libo. That Vayitatzev, he claims, is an expression of mourning. Not just being sad, but real mourning. And then he asks the following question. The Imtomar. Do you engage in mourning before a person dies? Exactly. He hasn't said anything about it. All, so what do you mean God's already Vayit Atzev Alibo? He's already mourning. He hasn't even declared that he's going to die. He certainly has not died yet. Why is he already in mourning? And he answers, Ela Adam She'eino yodeya rigei hazman eino yachol lehitabel ad she'yamot ha'met. Man who does not know what?
The schedule,
when death is going to occur, has no alternative but to mourn only when what? When death occurs. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'hakol galui v'yadu lefanav mit'abel t'chila. God can engage in mourning before what? Before the person dies. Because he knows definitively that this person is going to die in X number of days, X number of years. Hence, the emotion can already come now. So, psychologists will tell you, that if you have somebody who is diagnosed with something, and the diagnosis is a fatal one, and that there is absolutely nothing that they can do, that the grieving, the most upset time that the person experiences, is not the moment of what? Of loss.
It's
the, when you find out about it. What? Yes. And it's accurate. Based on the same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to some extent.
Decision.
Correct.
Yes.
When God makes the decision, He knows that's it. There's nothing. Man is helpless. So when you are told there is nothing further that can be done on your behalf, that is the greatest moment of crisis and the greatest moment of sadness, because there's nothing to change it. And the greater and that sense of mourning is introduced right away. On a smaller scale, certainly not as definitively as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but when that doctor makes that statement to you, there is such a feeling of helplessness of what you can do, that nothing that you do can change that terrible diagnosis. So therefore what happens? You know, you start being sad, mourning to the point where, you know, even though the person is still alive. And that is echoed in this particular imagery created by Chizkuni. By Chizkuni, yes.
Is there any reason, I know, do commentaries talk about why God didn't send anyone to teach the people to do tshuva or how to behave? I mean, in other cases where we've been...
The prophet comes or Moshe comes.
Okay, so many will take the position in just a few moments that Noah was assigned that responsibility. And he failed miserably. That's correct. We'll see it in a couple of seconds. Yeah. Yes. Point well taken. Yes, 100%. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu now makes his decision. Vayomer Hashem, Emcha et ha'adam asher barati me'al pnei adama, me'adam ad behema, ad remes, ad of hashamayim, ki nichamti ki asitim. I will destroy all of man, And I will destroy animal kind, little creeping animals, birds, everything. So let's take a look at Rashi. We always start with Rashi. So Rashi does not comment on the phrase Vayomer Hashem. Normally Vayomer Hashem is what? Followed by what? No, to whom? Who's he speaking to? So it could be that God is speaking to himself, Billy Bo. That's one possibility. Or as Ibn Ezra says, right below Rashi on the left-hand side of page 2, Elibo o amiral malachim. God could have what? Shared this information to the malachim. That's... So in fact, some will point out, why doesn't he consult with these malachim in making his decision? He informs them, but he doesn't consult. In that case, Na'ase Adam was a consultation. Should we create man or not? And according to the Midrash, God is not going to consult man, because what did the Malachim say when Shiloh consult man?
We don't want him.
Well, if you don't want him, I'm not asking you this time what you pick, because I know what your answer is already.
Yeah,
right.
Go ahead.
Exactly. So now let's take a look at Rashi. Vayomar Hashem emcha et ha'adam. Who afar? Adama, Adam is not just man, but he's also made from dirt. Ve'avi alav mayim ve'emche oto. If you take dust, ground, dirt, and you pour water on it, what happens to it? It dissolves, exactly. So the imagery which Rashi is willing to create is that I will take the expression of Emche with Adam, and to explain what's the third criteria. Why did he decide to destroy the world with what?
Water.
With water. Because water mixed with afar leads to michiyah. So to dissolving it, to get rid of it. So hence it's Emche hata Adam hu afar. I will bring upon him Mayim, and I will get rid of him. That's an excellent point. God engages creativity with his speech, and he engages in destruction with his speech. It's Vayomer Hashem. Excellent point. Yes.
It won't dissolve the dirt, it'll just change its form.
Yes. That's correct. So, but it once it changes its form, just what happened? Imagine.
It's not going to disappear.
Correct. It won't disappear. It'll be, you know, that's exactly what's going to happen to man. He doesn't disappear. I imagine it'll be, what's going to happen to him? He will like dissolve and just become part of the earth. That's what happens when the marble stops. What did Adam not have to do? They engage in burying the 6 million people. We didn't see that. So why? What happened is man simply decomposed and got, you know, interned into the earth.
What about Timche et Zecher Amalek?
Okay, that's a little difficult. That's a different expression. It's a good point. It's a good question. Good question. It's not the same thing as this Emche. Yeah. What? Right?
Hashem created the world from the trouble we go through, but the Malachim were here and created.
I can't answer that question. I wasn't around. Either was anybody else. The presumption is, yes, that they were heavenly,
celestial,
whoever Malachim are. They are. God created earth from Tohu Vavohu. Earth is not. What's the one up there?
What's the objection to having the
What is that?
Why would they object to having the earth?
Because they perceive that it's competition for God's attention. Says, yeah. Continues Rashi. Rashi asks the question, and there are two perspectives. Im Adam chata, behema ma chata. Why does God find it necessary to eliminate every animal? Every animal. Well, that's the second answer. Rashi doesn't give that answer. That will be the second answer, which we'll see. Let's take a look at Rashi first. Me'adam ha'beima. In effect, he answers that Rashi and asks, and he, that's the question, and he writes, Af heim hishchitu darkam. What happened? Hishchitu darkam, what does that mean? They crossbreeded amongst themselves. Hishchitu darkam. God created a certain tendency of desire amongst animals to mate amongst their own species, and they decided to cross species. Hence, they too deserve to die. Yeah.
Didn't we also say that whoever it was having relations with
the animals?
With animals?
Kill the
animals.
Okay, that's very possible. Yes. And as the Torah writes in Parshat Kedoshim, that where when man has relations with animal, you kill the animal too. Ve'et behema taharogu. Even though there the Gemara doesn't say because the animal had any consent.
Yeah.
It's because you don't want the animal walking around and say, this human being lost his life because it slept with that animal. But okay, that's one interpretation. Now Rashi gives the second interpretation, Mrs. Foreman's interpretation. Davar acher. Hakol nivra bishvil adam. All of the rest of creation was designed only to serve mankind. V'kevan shehu kala. Now that he is about to be destroyed, says Rashi, Matzorech ba'elu. Who needs the rest of them? Who needs the rest of them? Now there's a big difference between Matzorech ba'elu and actually killing them. That's how far Rashi is willing to take it. There is absolutely zero purpose in the rest of nature, the rest of the animal kingdom, other than to serve man. Well, if man is not going to be around, we don't need anything else. Yes?
So how do you understand the last sentence of Yonah?
Last sentence of what?
Yonah.
Yeah.
God says, I should destroy the animals. There's a sense of independence from man and the animals.
That's a good question. Yonah, in Yonah it says, yeah, God says, why should I kill the animals? Just because.
Right, he's making a point.
Mm-hmm. So, why should they destroy their free state? And as a result, the animals.
Right.
Okay.
Rashi's not claiming in the second term they did anything. They just have no use in this world. Today, a lot of people don't feel that way. That there is validity to animal life aside from its serving the needs of man. Rashi didn't believe it.
Phase of the world.
What?
This is an earlier world. It was a world different from the one that came about after the flood. So.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no Torah.
Except.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Let's move on. If you turn now for a second to page 4, this is Or HaChaim going back to the idea of Nicham, Vayinachem Hashem. And he has an interesting observation. And he writes initially, V'hinei she'be'adon yitbarach, in the Master, namely God, lo yutzdak lomar vayinachem. It's not appropriate to say that God changed his mind. Ki hu tzofeh u'mabit atzof kol hadorot. He sees what's going to happen, so it's not changing his mind. Omar kein, liyot ki ha'adon yitbarach, midot, Harachamim Gam bo yitbarach tzad hadin. No, the first one is his point. Every single time that there is a situation in this world, God has two of his traits to handle every situation. There is a midas harachamim, which will always say, you know what? Forgive and forget, give another chance. There's a midas hadin who says what? Says what? Just don't tolerate. Just punish right now. So the Nicham Hashem is not God changing his mind. How is he going? How do you think he's going to interpret it? Exactly. This is the balancing act of how a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Is he going to allow Midat HaRachamim to tilt the scale of what? Midat what?
Din.
Hadin. Or is he going to allow Midat Hadin to tilt the scale in terms of Midat HaRachamim? So now it's Vayinachem Hashem. Up until a certain time, what had God decided? What had he decided? That Midat HaRachamim is going to override Midat Hadin. Hence, man is always given another chance. But he comes one time, and God said, I have enough. So it's not that he's changing his mind, it's what's up within his personality. This particular Midah decides to take greater role than the other Midah. Now Midat Hadin operates more so than Midat HaRachamim. So it's a wavering of characteristics and traits of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's Vayinachem Hashem, not that he regretted or changed his mind. Every single day of your life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu engages in this balancing act. And there are times when the Midas HaRachamim tips the scale because he obviously saw some worth in why somebody should be continued to live. But when he notices that what? That Adam is V'chol Yetzer Machshevot Libo Rak Kol Hayom, when he notices that there is nothing what? Nothing decent, not one ounce of decency, not one shred of humanity left, what automatically tilts the scale? Midat Hadin now tilts the scale, and hence man is destroyed. So it's not so much God changing his mind, it's just a fluctuation of which of the two midot outweigh the other. And here the decision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, due to human failure, that Midat Hadin would triumph over Midat HaRachamim. Over Midat HaRachamim.
It's not regret.
Right. He answers your question in the third to the last line. I'm not convinced of what it... Look at what he says. V'hu omro... Vayinachem Hashem, Perush, Bechinat HaRachamim Tachpot Shelo Tiyeh HaBriyah, Kidei Shelo Lahapech HaMidah, V'lo Mipnezeh Tushlal HaBriyah. What does it mean? That Midas HaRachamim would not want the desired effect to be carried out. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide? Vayinachem, what did he decide? That he's not going to allow Midas HaRachamim to prevail at this particular time. He's only going to allow Midas Hadin to prevail. So it's more of a decision, not a change of a decision. Not a change of heart. Not a change of... Textually, it's somewhat weak. Textually, it's somewhat weak. But it's an interesting idea that he plays on, but textually it is somewhat weak. And finally, the Torah says, V'noach Matza chein be'enei Hashem. Noach matza chein be'enei Hashem. Page 3. Yeah. So if you take a look at page 3 for a moment, Radak says something which is very important, and so does Svarno. We'll start with Svarno. Svarno says, and I bracketed, page 3, he cites a group of people, and I'm not going to focus on the others, who in line number 2 on page 3 on the right hand side on the Svarno, Zachta lilmod velo zachta lilamed. He was privileged to what? To learn, to internalize for himself, but not to teach others. V'chein Noach, af al pi shehochiach al hama'asim hamekalkalim inyan hamedinut, even though he was informed as to what's going to happen to what? To this terrible generation. Lo hora lohem lo da'at ha'el yitbarach v'lo lechet bidrachav. He never communicated to what? To man what God's instructions were to the rest of the people. Afal pi shehu hayat sadik tamim bi'iyun u'bima'aseh. Even though he was what? A graced tzaddik in iyun, self-introspection, and in his behavior. Aminam. Hatzadik hamashlim atzmo bilvad, hu ra'ui shiyimolek atzmo bilvad. Somebody who what? Is concerned only about what? His own self-development. What does he deserve? That he say? But nobody else. But nobody else.
Did he teach his children?
Apparently, yes. So here, Radak takes the anti-traditional role about Noach. According to the Midrash, what did Noach do throughout the 120 years?
He
built the Teva. What else did he do? It's in the Midrash, not in the text. And he warned they would all come to him and say, why? Why are you building this thing? God's going to go and destroy the world. You better change your ways. It's not what Radak says. Radak says he kept himself, was a tzaddik in Pels, like we say in Yiddish, a tzaddik in Pels, but had zero impact on somebody else. No, we'd have to say including his children but otherwise it would be difficult to understand why they deserve to be served.
Yeah.
To be saved. We'd have to say that at least at this stage, Shem, Cham, and Yafes deserve to be saved.
Wait a minute. Maybe,
and their wives.
But maybe Hashem saved them to procreate.
To repopulate
the world.
Or he saved them.
Because Noah was beyond.
That's
the difference
to Noah.
He didn't have other children.
Who?
Noah.
No.
So the sons were saved to repopulate the world. Right?
That's very positive. Yes. But again, so then God had made a decision, you know what, I have to repopulate the world? I don't know why.
Then we'll be bad again.
Okay, well, he could have created another man from scratch if he wanted.
He did it with Moshe too. He said, I'm going to wipe everybody else and I'm going to start from you.
Right, yes, that's a pattern.
So
that yes. Right, I would agree with you. He found that Noah's children were worthy of being saved. That's it. But that's it. Nobody else. Nobody else. And this speaks volumes as to what our responsibilities are. Every person has the responsibility to live a dual life. On the one hand, to exercise as to the best of our degree to become as good a human being, as good a Jew as possible. But on the other hand, to recognize as well that you have a responsibility to the broader community, and that means by definition sacrificing time for your own personal development and your own spiritual elevation, because you're working on behalf. But that's our dual responsibility, one as an individual and one to the broader klal. However, Noach matzo chen ba'enei Hashem. Why? He was a good person. But he did absolutely nothing to impact somebody else. So learns Radak, and the text supports it. The text supports it. Not the Midrash, but the text itself does support. As opposed to Moshe, and this is where the other Medrash points, who Moshe actively tried to defend, you know, to defend a God against it, and to obviously, right? And Abraham, that's correct.
But
that's correct.
Wasn't on the same level.
That's the debate. That's precisely the debate. What kind of level he was on? That's precisely the debate. All right. We'll start next week. Parshas Noach.